The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.
Welcome to Local Flavor Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and I'm back today with the magazine's food and dining editor, Jane Marion.
Hey, Jane. You'll see.
You've had such a whirlwind week. I feel like you've been reporting and all over the place.
I've been really busy, but honestly, the first thing I have to get off my chest, and I know that our listeners can't see this, but I'm wearing a puffy shirt, and it's been driving me crazy the whole day. This is it for the puffy shirt.
It's gorgeous, though.
No, you know, I reached into the back of my closet. I'm trying to see what sparks joy. And I literally, one of the puffs got Marie caught on our art director's hook.
Seriously?
Yeah. It got caught on like part of her door and almost ripped. And I'm just like, this is going in the giveaway pile.
It's so cool though. I don't think you're doing it justice. I think we have to describe it a little more. It's a white button down with these like amazing, beautiful sleeves.
Puffy.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Kind of like a balloon sleeve. And then the neckline is what they call a portrait collar.
Yes.
Where your neck kind of gracefully, if you're graceful, juts out.
You are very graceful,
of the top
Jane.
Of the shirt. And, you know, it's an old Banana Republic shirt. It's not working for me anymore. I think I've worn it twice.
I love it. I think it goes to show it's definitely fashion over comfort for you. But I love it.
How's your week? Yeah, I've been doing a lot of reporting, too.
Yes, a lot. Yeah, I think it's, it's hard finding your footing after you're on a trip, too. I've just been getting back in the swing of things. But happy to be back. And as always, you know, the ever-changing food scene never stops. We had a lot of cool things happen this week. I heard this great news about Kasbar. This is the place that's been open for years in Mount Vernon. It's a Turkish restaurant that recently expanded to Columbia. Everyone's going to Howard County.
Yeah, we just wrote about them in Global Eats.
Yes.
Give them a nice shout out.
Absolutely, yeah. This joins, what have we talked about? We've talked about the Turn House. We've talked about Brewer's Art Tavern. We've talked about all of these amazing.
Pretty much every restaurant we talk about is from Howard County. sister spot.
Right, exactly. All of these amazing Columbia spots. So this is a new iteration of that, but very, very similar to what people have come to know and love in Mount Vernon. So look out for all of the famous kebabs and the mezze platters. Those are so good with the fresh baked pita.
Everybody loves that kind of food. Yeah. I feel it's like universal. Like everyone loves Asian flavors now too, but I do think those Middle Eastern flavors are also equally trending and popular.
Yeah, and I'm happy for it. I think it's interesting. So the Kasbar owners are the same owners of Home Slice, the pizza chain.
Oh, really?
And Home Slice has been expanding so rapidly.
Yeah.
I know they opened in GC not too long ago. So I think it's a really good move for them. So it's open now. From what I've seen in photos, the space is so beautiful. It's, you know, the same kind of authentic decor with the textured wallpaper and, you know, like the comfy chairs, and they have the belly dancing on the weekends.
Oh, I love belly dancing.
It's the whole nine yards for sure.
Yeah, Columbia really needs it. There's, you know, so many chain restaurants there. Mm-hmm. And I know later in the pod, if we have time, we're going to talk about the Hot Dry.
Yes.
Levenfeld Brothers, new concept. But I spoke with Ben and Jake actually this week, and Ben was saying, you know, they grew up in Columbia.
Right.
And he said, you know, it was all chains and then these really wonderful Asian restaurants, which is where their family chose to go. And those were the things that he loved doing, which is why they're now doing an Asian restaurant where Minnow used to be.
That's great.
But we talked about the Columbia food scene at length, and it definitely needs more places like this, like Kasbar.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'm glad you made that connection. And it really is interesting that he was inspired by these Asian restaurants in Columbia. And now it inspired that new concept. So very, very cool. Very happy for Kasbar. Go check it out if you're in Howard County. And Bambao, I hope I'm saying this correctly. This is a new Asian fusion concept that's going to be taking over that long vacant Manchurian rice company spot that's right around the corner from us.
Yeah, we can see it from here.
Yeah, and it's been, how long has that been vacant? For a while, right?
I think, was that one of the places that fell early on from all the construction in Harbor East, the bridge?
Because it really is. It's like right in the middle of all of that construction, which we're really hoping wraps up soon. But this, it seems like a good reinvigoration of that space. It's going to have bubble tea and rice bowls and steamed buns. So I think it'll be a good addition to the neighborhood. It's something we don't really have much of, if anything.
Sounds very on trend.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about it is it seems like it's going with kind of a holistic kind of wellness zen concept. So they're planning on doing a lot of community outreach with there's a lot of, I think this location is good for it because there's a lot of yoga studios and different kind of fitness wellness establishments around in the Harbor East area. So they're hoping to collaborate with them and also offer origami classes.
I love that. Oh my goodness. My son does origami.
Really?
At a pretty high level, yes.
Wow, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. I always had such an admiration for people who have that discipline.
Yeah, I have a lot of origami paper at home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really hard.
Wow.
And it's so beautiful when it's done well.
I think the closest I ever got, you'll appreciate this, is when you sent me to learn napkin folding.
Remember? I knew you were going to talk about that. Yeah. Lauren Cohen did a story on napkin folding.
And
was it the prime rib?
It was the prime rib.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. I remember going and, you know, the server's name is escaping me, but he is an expert at napkin folding. He does the same. It's he showed me the fleur-de-lis
remember. Can you still do it, do you think?
I think if I had a napkin in front of me,
yeah,
I could.
We should put a link online.
Yes, definitely. I'll link to our – it was a trend page in print, which is, of course, online, and I'll link to it. In the page for the podcast. But yeah, that's...
I forgot about that piece. That was awesome.
I was so proud of myself. I was like, I've never been interested in origami. I've never been really artistic. And the fact that I was able to learn how to fold these napkins and, you know, for a while I was... So proud of it. And like at family dinners, I'd be like, look, guys.
Yeah, I thought, didn't you do it for Thanksgiving or something?
Or like one of the Jewish holidays or something. I was like, look, I can fold this napkin. Like I work at a 5-star restaurant. But yes, that's what origami always reminds me of.
That's funny.
Thank you for assigning that
to me. You're welcome. You ran with it.
Yeah. And, you know, I should mention the piece is kind of like a step-by-step tutorial guide with illustrations if anybody wants to pick it up.
Yeah, it was pretty simple. Like you showed me.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It, you know, one wrong fold and you're done.
Right,
but,
right. I remember you brought in cloth napkins for me to practice
on.
So funny. But yeah, so this place is going to have origami. It seems like it's going to be a great addition, and it's opening in October, so that's another good one. I have to give a shout-out to Ekiban. I feel like we're always giving shout-outs to Ekiban.
They never stop, those guys.
They never stop. So, you know, you blogged about not too long ago. They recently started this Taiwanese noodle pop-up at Fadden Sanin that happens on Wednesdays. And, you know, even on the heels of that, they have coordinated this incredible end of summer barbecue pop-up series. They're going to be collaborating with these amazing, it's an amazing lineup of visiting chefs. So these are scheduled for the end of September. And the first one starts, it's going to be on September 18th. And this is going to be with Chef Johnny Sparrow of Reverie in Washington, D.C. And then they continue. Black Sauce Kitchen is going to be at Ekiban on September 20th. And then this one's really cool. So Jerome Grant, he's James Beard nominated. He's the chef at Sweet Home Cafe, which is in the National Museum of African American History and Culture in D.C. Yeah, and he's going to be coming on September 23rd. And then the last one on September 26th is with Carlos Raba of Clavel, who we all know and love. So, I mean, this is incredible. I think it just shows their creativity, their willingness for collaboration. And, I mean, I can only expect what kind of dishes they're going to come up with.
Well, I think Baltimore is really unusual this way. In other cities, chefs compete with one another. Here, they're all friends.
Yeah.
There's a whole, we've talked about this before, but, you know, Carlos Raba from Clavel is very good friends with David DeLima from the Charmery. And who else is part of that group?
Ilan from Orto.
Ilan Kotz, right.
Yeah, yeah, they're all like BFFs.
Yeah, they really are. I see them out and about all the time, and they kind of dream and scheme together, and they support each other. If someone's out of work at another restaurant, I know Chad Gauss takes people in.
Right.
If, you know, they're between employment, They go there to work in the kitchen. It's really refreshing.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like Steve from Ekiben and Ephraim, both of them, they're just, like, if we could give out award, like, most well-liked.
We do. We do, Lauren.
We do. I know, I know. But that's it's, they're just the best. And I think it really does showcase their collaboration and, you know, it's going to be epic. I can't wait to, and their lunch pop-up. So it's 11, I think it's 11 to 3:30. But, you know, everybody knows you have to get there early because they sell out so quickly.
And I like that it's end of summer because, you know, most people think summer's over. It's not. September 21st is the end of summer. So
right, exactly. The unofficial
it's
is
still
Labor
over
Day.
A few weeks.
Yes, definitely. And I think the flavors will definitely kind of evoke that. So really excited about that. Check out the link in Open and Shut if you want more information about those pop-ups. And, of course, with every kind of happy, exciting thing comes a sad one. The Diz officially closed.
That's a bummer.
It's such a bummer. They put an announcement up on Facebook earlier this week. The sad thing is they had kind of – the owners had – it's Thomas Basta and his sister Darlene. They're the co-owners. They had kind of gone back and forth about putting it on the market. I believe it was last fall, and the neighborhood kind of collectively breathed a sigh of relief when they ended up pulling back, and they were like, no, you know, we're going to stick it out. I remember speaking with Eileen Stevens, who's a long time, I believe she's been the general manager there for like almost 30 years.
Wow.
And I spoke with her not too long ago for a story, and she just kind of said, you know, they thought they were ready, and then they saw the outpouring of support for the community from the community, and they just decided not to put it up on the market. But, you know, I think it's just so beloved in that neighborhood. It's hard imagining. It's one of those things where it's like, in the back of my mind, I'm really hoping somebody will swoop in and save it. You know, yeah. I can't imagine the neighborhood without it.
How long have they been here?
Since... So I was looking on the website actually earlier today. The earliest known liquor license for the building was in 1934.
Wow.
And obviously it's had all of these different iterations over the years. It was Dizzy Izzy's at one point. I think it was called Mitchell's at one point.
I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I mean, that area has changed. It's gentrified a lot. You would think that there'd be more traffic than ever. Honestly, because a lot more people are coming into the neighborhood for our house. And...
Yeah, I have a feeling that it had more to do with the owners and their, you know, willingness to kind of keep going rather than the interest in the community. But, you know, people are so upset about this. Just reading some of the message boards, it's really, really upsetting.
Yeah, my association is my son worked across the street at Charm City
Cakes.
That's
right, yeah. So you probably had many meals there.
Yeah, right after Asa Cakes went off the air, Alex was in high school looking for an internship. And I helped open the door a little bit, but he's super artistic. And the art director took a look at his work and hired him as an intern there. And I said to him, don't count on really doing anything. You're going to be sweeping up, you know, floor crumbs all day, but you'll get to see, you know, how fun it is there. And, you know, when you go to Charm City Cakes, have you ever been in there?
I have never. I've always wanted to, like, take a class or...
Yeah, I mean, they have, like, saws and they have, you know, every kind of, it looks like Home Depot, like the construction aisle of Home Depot. It doesn't look like a bakery.
Exactly.
They're building these crazy 3D
cakes. I remember seeing it from the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, so Alex, I think it might have been in his second week, made the fondant for Obama's inauguration cake.
Stop. Wait a minute. And this later, I remember, so talk about that sketch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, so there were all these balls after the inauguration. I think there may be 10 of them. And I believe they made maybe 4 of the cakes for each of the arms of the armed forces. And so they made really crazy cakes, but these were pretty standard cakes with, you know, the symbols of the different armed forces. And after Trump was elected, basically the exact cakes were made, which were a complete replica of the Asa cakes.
Yes, this was a Charm huge deal once it happened.
Right, but we knew the truth because Alex had the original sketches.
How crazy is that?
Which I thought were just cool, and I saved them out of sentiment, and then we ran them. We can put a link to that as well in the magazine. We actually ran them online show that they were the exact sketches.
It was
they
so
stole,
funny. I mean,
they literally stole the Obama's cake.
And this had made national news.
Yeah, it was
about
national news.
Cake.
And we had the drawings.
I'm thinking to myself, myself, I'm like, very random. I've seen this before. Not only have I seen photos of the cake, I've seen the sketch because it's in Jane's office.
Right. You know? Yeah. So he made some really cool cakes. Another cake he made was with the artist there was it was a stack of books for Salman Rushdie's birthday that was going to New York. And so one of the books, I think it was Haroon and the Sea, I think it was called, something along those lines.
Right.
The book title was actually wrong. And the doorman, when they were delivering it, the doorman in the New York apartment where Salman Rushdie lived pointed out that there was a mistake on the spine of the book in icing. So hopefully it wasn't Alex who did that. They smeared it and fixed it.
Wow.
It was like the word "the" or something.
That's
was
so
off.
Charm City Cakes. Yeah. Like in the heat of the final moments, they do it.
Yeah. Then he did like a life-size NASCAR cake. I mean, the kid was baking with his high school degree. And these cakes
opportunity.
Yeah. They made a cake that I probably shouldn't even talk about for Jeff Koons. I can't even tell you what this cake cost.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a Jeff Koons sculpture.
That's incredible. I feel like that's the opportunity of a lifetime, especially for someone so young to be able to kind of see how things like that happen.
Yeah, he came home with great stories.
I bet. Yeah. I bet. I feel like even just having the sketch from the inauguration cake, that's something I'll never forget.
Yeah, I still have it.
Yeah. But obviously that kind of gave way to you having lots of meals at the Diz.
Back to where was I? Excuse my reverie here. Right. So it was right across the street from the Diz.
Yes.
They took out from the Diz all the time. I would pick Alex up from work. He wasn't driving at that point. And we'd get a crab cake at the Diz or a BLT. And pure Baltimore, that place.
Makes me so sad. I think their tagline is Baltimore in a bar. And it's just so true.
And they sold all the stuff from Asa Cakes. They had all the paraphernalia, the hats, the T-shirts. There was a lot of synergy when the camera crews were around. You know, people would collect around the bakery looking for all the paraphernalia. And they would have to go to the Diz to pick it up. Ugh. So there was nice synergy between those two businesses.
Of course. It's so sad. I mean, they're the OG. They were Remington before Remington was
exactly
cool.
That's exactly right.
So,
they were the OG.
But yeah, I think it's sorely going to be missed. Again, personally, I'm just holding out hope that, you know, I don't know. I think because of the fact that it was so close to closing once before and it didn't actually close, I don't know. But if this really is the end of the Diz, it will be sorely, sorely missed.
Rest in peace, Diz.
I know. The BLTs, the burgers, everything. So good. The Christmas lights. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what I'm going to do over the winter when I drive by and there's
either.
No Christmas lights there.
Yeah.
But definitely, definitely a sad one. And Jane, I have to hear, you had this amazing dinner with the Karzai family.
I did.
I haven't heard anything about this. I can't wait.
So they say Karzai. We say Karzai, but they say Karzai.
I'll start saying Karzai from now on.
For those who don't know, the Karzais own Tapas Teatro. They had Bees in Bolton Hill and most famously the Helmand Afghani restaurant in Mount Vernon. It has been there 30 years.
Wow.
October 23rd.
Happy almost birthday.
Yeah. October 23rd is 30 years. And I wanted to blog about it, which I'll be doing next week. And they invited me to dinner because that's just who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat at the Helmand, and Kayum and his wife Pat were there. And they're just so lovely. I mean, so they have three servers, including one of Kayum's cousins that have been there since the very beginning.
Oh, my goodness.
And so many things happened. I was there for about 2.5 hours. And one of my favorite things that happened was that there was an older couple at another table. And Kayum said to me, they've been coming here a long time. And he got up to say hello to them. And then on their way out, they stopped by to, you know, compliment the meal. And they looked at me and they said, we haven't been in here in 15 years, and we can't believe he remembers us. We didn't even have gray hair then.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, that's amazing.
So they had not been there in all that time, and it meant so much to them that he remembered. So, you know, that place just oozes hospitality. You feel like you're in their home. You know, Afghani culture is very genteel.
Mm-hmm.
Kayum said, you know, whether you're a stranger or somebody familiar, you come in, you're fed, you're given something to drink, something to eat, to the point where he told me this hilarious story. The original Helmand was actually in Chicago, and his sister helped run it. He has lots of five brothers, I believe, and a sister. And at one point, the men's urinals were backing up, and so he called his sister and said, I've sent a plumber to the restaurant. So when he got to the restaurant, the plumber had been seated at a table
oh my God.
with the plunger next to him on the floor.
But that's the hospitality.
And the sister had offered, right.
Wait, that's hilarious.
And I just thought that story was hilarious. It but is. That's the kind of place it is. You feel it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, Kayum said people aren't there for the food. The food is fabulous, but that's almost a given. They're really there to be taken care of.
Sure.
Otherwise, you might as well stay home. So, well, you'll hear more about it in the next week, but yeah. I do have to share one really touching anecdote.
Please, please.
So I asked them, what's your favorite memory, you know, looking back over the 3 decades? And they said that on 9/11, Kayum was stuck in Rome. He was actually worked for the government as well, because his brother was Hamid, was president of Afghanistan.
Right. This I've heard before. Yeah. It's
and
so
he, you know, he talks about it in mm-hmm. bits and pieces. So he was in Rome negotiating with the former king of Afghanistan.
Wow.
And 9/11 happened, and he was stuck. He was afraid he was never going to get home.
Yeah.
As, you know, he's an American citizen, but I'm not sure, but I'm guessing he probably has dual citizenship with Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And, he told Pat, you know, they were going to close, because everything was closed that day.
Sure.
Everything, you know, I don't know how old you were, but
yeah,
it definitely felt
I
like
remember.
The world was
yes.
over that day.
Absolutely.
And he told her to go get a flag, get an American flag, and hang it on the building and stay open for business. And people came in, and Pat said they were packed, and everyone wanted to show their support. And I just thought that was the most beautiful story.
It is.
I see you kind
it
of
is.
Tearing
I am.
Up.
I have a tear in my
gives
eye.
Gives me chills.
Yes.
On so many levels. It's so Baltimore, too. We support our own.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what a beautiful gesture on their part.
Yeah.
As well as whoever was there that night. So I was telling this story to Jess Mayhew, our former digital editor.
Yes.
I had lunch with her today.
Shout out to Jess.
And here's what she said. She was high school editor, editor of her high school paper in Towson. They wrote that story.
What? Wait a minute.
She said not very well, because it was like a 16-year-old reporter. But
oh my gosh.
They were looking for an angle. And I don't know if that was her idea or not, but
I
they
bet
wrote.
It was.
I
I'm
bet
not
it
surprised.
Feels like Jess,
it
right?
It feels so much like
yeah.
this, and it doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah, so she said, I remembered that.
Oh,
yeah, she
my
said, we wrote
gosh.
About it.
Wait.
Isn't that great?
And also, how incredible is it that you're kind of discovering this, and then, you know, you talk to her days later, and she's like, wait a minute.
Right, 2 days later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
As a high school editor, she remembered
that's
like
amazing.
Yeah, either commissioning that story or editing that story.
She's such an amazing reporter.
Yeah,
and
she
it started
is.
Young, clearly.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, what a week, Jane.
I know.
Oh
so
gosh.
Anyway, there was more to it, but
yeah.
it just was so special to be in their presence. And we talked also about Tapas Teatro's expanding, which
mm-hmm.
I mentioned to you last week.
Excellent.
And it reminded me, like, I need to go back there.
Yes.
Kayum was actually stuck. He went from Rome to Spain, eventually got a flight out of Spain home. But ironically, he was working on the menu for tapas at that time.
Wow.
So he was able to eat a lot of tapas
yes,
in Spain.
Yes.
So it was somewhat fortuitous that he got stranded in Spain.
What an incredible story. It's like all of the pieces kind
yeah.
of fit together.
It, there was a lot to it. It was very
wow.
emotional.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I
they're
bet.
They're lovely, lovely people. And, you know, so yeah.
We're so lucky to
have
them.
We're
going to
do more reporting on the Helmand this year for best restaurants as
Absolutely.
Well. The food is just so delicious.
Yeah, we should mention that for sure.
Yeah, the food is delicious. You know, they asked me what my tastes were. Do I eat meat? Do I eat this? I said just order whatever. They ordered everything, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge lamb eater, but they got lamb shish kebab, and it was one of my favorite things. I thought it was just delicious.
Wow.
They eat a lot of lamb in Afghanistan, so there's a lot of lamb on the menu. Also a lot of vegetarian stuff.
Wow. It's an amazing restaurant with, obviously, such an incredible story.
Yeah.
I'm still tearing up at
we
that
love
story.
The narrative.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Love the narrative. Oh,
Definitely.
I do have – do you want to hear one other story?
Yes, please.
It's all coming back. So So they were telling me about a man who sat at table B5, which is the very first dining room when you walk in.
Okay.
It used to be an alleyway, and it was the 5th table over from the door. And there was a man named Mr. Witherspoon who lived in an apartment building nearby, and he ate there every single day for 10 years straight. every day.
Wow, Mr. Weatherspoon.
He missed a couple of meals here and there, and whenever he didn't come in, they would call him and offer to deliver.
Oh, wait, that's so nice.
Which they did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's and, the epitome of hospitality.
So he ate there until he passed away.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was his kitchen.
So mm-hmm. many, I mean, you were there for what, one, an evening? And
about
so many
2.5 hours.
And
yeah,
so many great stories.
I could have sat there forever.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. Well, I can't wait to read your piece that everybody can look out for on our website. So was that your best bite, what you were served at the Hellman?
I mean, the lamb shish kebab was fabulous. Of course, the Oshak dumplings are so always good. Wonderful. I got the vegetarian ones, the Mantou pumpkin and the, you know, garlic
the
yogurt.
Pumpkin.
They've been getting the pumpkins from the same gardener in Howard County for all 30 years.
That's actually really interesting
yeah.
to know.
Sharp
to know.
Farms, yeah. yeah. But, you know, I just had a shrimp salad sandwich at Tame Street. And,
how was it?
It was really hard for me to not get the lobster roll, but Jess got the lobster roll. Another coworker got the fried clam belly roll, which was, I was a little envious. It was just delicious.
Yeah.
I may have liked it more than the shrimp salad, but the shrimp salad was great. It was just what you want. Fat Gulf shrimp.
Yeah.
Tiny bit of mayonnaise. The bun was warm and buttered.
Yeah.
Like you would with the lobster roll. And I haven't had a shrimp salad sandwich in a really long time. It came with coleslaw, and I ordered the cucumbers that you
Yum.
Get the lobster. So, no, it was really refreshing, nice, like, late summer day
yes.
meal, I'd
I like
say.
That. That kind of leads
it.
To my best bite, which was I went to Dylan's last week and got – they had a salad that was so very seasonal. It was very late summer. It was a tomato salad with – it was green tomatoes, yellow tomatoes,
Ooh.
All different sizes. I mean, the presentation was beautiful. It was
Always.
Like quartered tomatoes and then cherry tomatoes and red onions, feta. The feta
Ooh.
Was so good.
So good.
A little bit of balsamic, salt and pepper, and it was just incredible.
That's a meal.
And it's one of those things – it's such a meal, but it's one of those things where I was like – and I was laughing because I was thinking of you. I was like, if I actually committed to like – preparing food and cooking to my,
you
for myself.
You could make that.
I could make that very, very easily.
I was sitting there thinking I did make a meal with just, you know, I think I told you I had sun-dried tomato, cherry
yes.
tomatoes and then, you know, big lush tomatoes and yeah.
Yeah.
Nice balsamic, but you know, you don't always do it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you, don't you feel like you appreciate food more now that you write about it?
Yes. So much. So much more. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, when that plate hit the table, I was like, oh, where did these tomatoes come from? You know, the presentation is beautiful and et cetera, et cetera. Just thinking all of these different things.
Yeah.
But it was beautiful. It was such a great meal. I had a great cocktail. It was a tequila cocktail. I wish I remember the name of it.
It's just a classic plate. It's the new Diz.
It's the best.
It's the modern Diz.
It's, yes.
I'm counting on it being there for 85 years.
I
Did you have
so.
Anything else?
We got the fish nuggets, which are always...
Oh, I don't think I've had those.
You never had them?
No.
They're really good. They're kind of heavily fried.
Yeah.
But it's what you
so
think
the
it's going to
be. So is the coddy is,
the
too.
The coddy. Oh, I mm-hmm. wish I would have gotten the coddy. And the potato skins. Like,
oh, they're delicious.
Everything there. So good. And I think it's great. I mean, they have like the oyster stew is really great when it gets a little chillier outside.
Yeah.
And but always also in the summer, these great seasonal dishes like that tomato salad. I hope they still have it on the menu. So by the time people hear this, they can get it.
Yeah.
But if not,
oh,
then...
we still have a few weeks. I've
yeah.
checked with my farm truck because I'm going
right.
to be making more sauce this weekend.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Wait, that's awesome. And
yeah.
your farm truck. It's your go-to.
My entire freezer is either pesto or tomato sauce right now.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
You'll have plenty of it. That's great.
Yeah. I feel like Woodbury
awesome.
Kitchen.
Yes. Are you going to start your own canning operation too? Maybe. Well, thank you so much, Jane. It was so great hearing about your interview with the Carzés and all the food news, chatting about that. It's always so fun doing
yeah.
this with you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always. And thank you, everyone, for listening. You can now pick up our September issue, which is on newsstands now. And you can check out all of our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
The
The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.